As we heard when we celebrated the Epiphany last Sunday, there were three moments of Epiphany, of manifestation, of a revelation of Christ. One was, of course, when the Magi came to see Christ and he was manifested to them as the Anointed One, as the Messiah. The second one was at the wedding feast at Cana, where through the intercession of his mother, he turned the water into wine and so began his public ministry. And then we have today, where publicly he is manifested as one of the persons of the triune God, a member of the Holy Trinity. It also shows us today that Christ, everything that he has asked of us, everything that he offers us, all those things that we need to do, he's also done them himself, above and beyond. Christ, God himself, was baptized. Now, Christ already, without getting too deep into Christology, it's not that difficult, in his human nature already had sanctifying grace, that thing that we have, that we gain through baptism, that grace which allows us to merit. That's how Christ was able to merit in his humanity, because he had sanctifying grace already, and therefore merited perfectly and infinitely through that. The baptism he took was that baptism of St. John the Baptist, which was for sinners. It was a preparation for the baptism which was to come, the real baptism that would not just wash away sins, but would give life. Christ therefore humbled himself not infinitely, that wouldn't be possible, but to such an extent. Can you imagine? Can you imagine if a king did such a thing? Everyone would marvel at his humility. This is more than just any king. This is God himself, and he did it so that we may not be afraid of what he is offering us. Because just as when he went into the water and came out again, the Holy Spirit descended on him, God the Father claimed Christ as his Son, and so it is with us when we are baptized. The Holy Spirit descends upon us. We are washed clean in the waters, and God takes us as his child. We are filled with the friendship of God, with the sanctifying grace, and we become sons and daughters of God, just like Christ. And so we have no need to fear imitating him. But we also need to, through this example and through this truth, we need to be convinced of the absolute importance of baptism. You know, there's the catechism of the church, the teachings of the church, teach that baptism is absolutely essential. And for those who know your catechism, you know there's three types of baptism. There's a sacramental baptism, which I suspect everyone here has received, where you come to the church and you get the water poured over your head, or you're immersed three times and you say, "I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit." Then there's baptism of blood, where you die for the name of Christ even though you have not yet been sacramentally baptized, and that's enough to get to heaven. And then there's the baptism of desire, of course, that baptism where, say, for example, someone's in the RCIA preparing to be baptized and they die suddenly, but they were still living according to their conscience, according to natural law. And so that will be enough for them to get to heaven. God will accept that. God is not a harsh judge. Or somebody who, for example, has lived in complete ignorance of Christ, but again, living according to the natural law and to their conscience, God will also give them the grace to be saved. This is what our faith teaches us. However, the reality is, since we are all affected by, we will have the effects of original sin, although it's been washed away through baptism, but for those who aren't baptized, they don't have the same graces that we do. They don't have sanctifying grace. And so to live according to the natural law and live according to a right conscience is very, very difficult indeed. We who have sanctifying grace, we who have all the knowledge and all the wisdom of the church and the saints, it's hard for us. How much harder is it for those who are not yet baptized in Christ? And so if we have relatives, grandchildren, nieces, nephews, whatever, who aren't, we need to try to convince their parents or them themselves of the importance without, you know, beating them over the head with it, but for their own good. You know, even Saint Augustine was baptized as an adult, as was common in those days. But he himself said, "If only I was baptized as a child, how many evils I might have avoided. Now, I suspect all of us here have already been baptized, so it's not such a big deal for us at this point, personally. But what we must therefore do is recognize what we have received. To recognize the dignity that we now have, not because we've merited it, absolutely not. It's like if a king took favor to you and started giving you all these gifts and adopted you as one of his children. You don't even know him. He just says, "You, come be my child." God himself has said to each one of you, "Come and be my child." You therefore are daughters and sons of the King of heaven and earth. We need to ask ourselves, do we act as such? We all know the stories of the royal family, the British royal family. The two young princes, I forget their names, Harry and William, is that right? Okay, good. Everyone loves Harry and William, most people. They're nice guys, but I remember a couple of years ago, the younger of the two got caught out doing something he shouldn't, and everyone was shocked because he's a prince. He shouldn't act that way. It is below his dignity as a prince of men. Of course, we all know original sin is original sin, whether you're a prince or a pauper. But we have to look at ourselves as well. We have a higher dignity than any earthly prince. But do we act as such? Just because we get away with it sometimes that no one sees it doesn't mean anything. We get away with doing the wrong thing. We need to remember at all times we are in the presence of our King, at all times, and therefore we must act accordingly. And it's easier for us to do so due to the fact that when we feel we can't, we go to the King and he gives us what we need. Just as in the world, if you were good friends with the King, you know, "I need this food, I need this money, I need this medicine," he would give it to you. With God, "I need this grace, I need this strength, I need this resolve," and he will give it infallibly. It doesn't mean it will be easy, but it certainly is that simple. Remembering over and over again that line of Christ, "If you ask, I will give it to you." You will receive, especially when it's got to do with us living out our vocation as other Christs in the world, because that is what we become when we become adopted children of God. Of course, through baptism, if we become adopted children of God, then we also become children of Mary. We imitate Christ in all that he does, in the prayer example he gives us in his prayer, and the example he gives us in baptism, and the example that he gives us in taking Mary as his mother. She is the secret weapon of the saints. She's a secret ingredient in our, when we're trying to cook up holiness, so to speak, in our lives. If we ignore her, then we ignore an essential part, according to God's will and design, of Christ's mission. She is, as St. Francis calls her, the spouse of the Holy Spirit. She is the only one. She has a unique relationship with each person of the Holy Trinity, the daughter of the Father, the spouse of the Holy Spirit, and the mother of the Son. She's not part of the Trinity, of course, substantially, but she has an essential role now in our salvation, again, by God's will and God's design. And so we don't fear to go to her. When we find ourselves lacking, when we find ourselves finding it difficult to live out the promises and vows that were made on our behalf, or if we made them ourselves at our baptism, then we go to her, asking her to teach us how to be like her Son. She taught Christ, can you imagine? She taught God. Let us ask her, therefore, to teach us also. Baptismal vows are nothing to be taken lightly. Hence the church often now with the RCIA, with the adult baptism or confirmation, it's anywhere between a year and 18 months preparation, because it's a serious thing. It's no small matter. And we take on serious obligations. But we are not alone. We have each other as a Catholic and Christian community, and we have God himself and the Blessed Virgin Mary to help us. Let us therefore hold on tight to these helps, to our families and friends and the saints and the angels, God and Our Lady, because then we will become what we have been made to be, other Christs to the world, for God's glory and for our sanctification and for the salvation of all the world.